You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. Make sure to check out Locked On MLB with Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and I'll be rolling solo today. Jeff covered me on yesterday's episode when I was at the game. I'm going to cover him since I was at the game again, and when I get home from the post-game, it's just a little too late sometimes to sync up. But I got you all covered. I'm going to talk a little bit, get on Jeff's question of me of how it is in person when Albert Pujols the last 2 days. I'm going to talk about Gavin Lux a little bit, Chris Taylor, Julio Urias, and just the way the Dodgers are playing right now. But before all that, a quick reminder to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so I've been at the Ravine the last two nights, Albert Pujols' first game and debut and start, and then his second game and start, what has also happened to be Yoshi Tsutsugo's Dodger debut. So it's been a fun two nights. The Dodgers have won both nights, won a close game, won a blowout. Last night's game was a blowout, 9-1. The Dodgers continued to just tack on runs as the game went on, capped off by a big grand slam by Gavin Lux that broke it open late in the game, and the Dodgers were able to handle business. But when it comes to Albert Pujols, yeah, it's definitely, you know, we've already talked about how it's Pujols over Raley Peters, Noisy, when it comes to what his role will be. He's been able to get the start the last two nights, but that's more so with the Seager injury. They're able to move guys around and get him some starts. But for the most part, he's probably going to be coming off the bench. But yeah, the first two games, I mean, when he comes to the plate, there's a natural buzz already. People gave him a nice ovation, not a standing ovation or anything, but a nice ovation in his first at-bat. And then he hit that one that sounded good off the bat, but just ended up being fly ball. He's driven in two runs so far, one via a hit and one via being hit. But yeah, it's a nice little buzz every time he comes to the plate. You can tell people are excited. You can tell people, people know who Albert Pujols is, and people know that even if he's not what he once was, he's still a big name. He's still a Hall of Famer, and now he's in Dodger blue. And you just get excited when he comes to the plate. And it, like I said, with compared to Noisy Raley Peters, you expect him to at least put the ball in play. He would have had a hit last night if he wasn't one of the slowest men in baseball. He hit one to shallow left field, basically a ground ball that would have been a base hit, With him, the D-backs were able to play a shift where they had their shortstop in shallow left field, and he was still able to make the play. But either way, it's been a nice buzz at Dodger Stadium for Albert Pujols. People know who he is, what it is, and it's been fun. And hopefully he can continue to produce for the Dodgers. And if he gets more starts in the next couple weeks or whatever it is, hopefully he can continue to just be a productive bat. Like, give him a good at-bat. That's all the Dodgers really need from him. As for Yoshi Tsutsugo, he had a couple walks and not much else in it. His first time as a Dodger, played left field, made the plays out there pretty easily, didn't have really any tough plays. But the big thing with Yoshi that they've kind of talked about and they went into a little bit deeper, I was listening to the post-game show with Davis Say on AM 570. And basically the Dodgers saw something that they felt he could get back to from his time in Japan and from his time in the majors. They think there's a big difference. And Davis A mentioned that one of those things was his leg kick. Yes, the Rays had basically eliminated Tsutsugo's leg kick basically because he wasn't catching up to velocity, so they wanted him to shorten the way to get to the ball, I'm assuming. And for a guy that's been hitting a certain way his entire career, or maybe not, he's still not hitting against velocity even without the late kick. And then this season he wasn't hitting pretty much anything. So it seems a little counterproductive on the Rays' part. I can understand what they're trying to do, but you know, the Dodgers are going to let him go back to that and figure, hey, maybe if he struggles against velocity, that's something we can't really fix. But as long as he can crush other things, then he can still be a productive member of this Dodgers team and fill, basically, like I said, the Edwin Rios role. Now that Matt Beatty's kind of upgraded to not an everyday player, but, well, Pollock's out, at least an almost everyday player. So we'll see what happens with him. He showed good patience last night, and I'm sure he'll get some spot starts here and there, and I'm sure he'll keep working in the cage and working whatever else they need to do, and they'll try to figure it out. But, you know, I'm excited to see if they can unlock anything with them, because I'm not sure. I don't remember who exactly tweeted it, but there's a video of his highlight video of him in Japan, and he's a pool monster, pool home run monster. And I'm excited to see if he can do any of those at the Ravine, maybe hit some into the bullpen. So we'll see what happens with Tsutsugo, but it was good to see. One last thing before we go on to the next segment about more in-depth of Chris Taylor and Gavin Lux. Julio Urias, once again, was one out shy of pitching through seven innings. He has pitched into the seventh inning almost every start so far this year, and we're just going to continue to say it's been fun to watch. The one thing I do have, not concerns, just I'm kind of wondering how the Dodgers are going to handle these guys the rest of the way, because Kershaw, Bauer, Julio, Buehler, these guys are going seven innings pretty much every time out. And as we know, last year they didn't throw that many innings, and it's going to be hard to make that big of a jump. But also with the Dodgers' depth, you know, I'm not sure entirely how they can pick up those innings without having to either add Josiah Gray to the 40-man roster, assuming he's okay after taking some time off for his shoulder, or maybe getting Andre Jackson a couple starts in the big leagues when maybe he's not ready. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but at some point they're maybe going to have to try to slow down or spread out some of these guys' starts in order to keep them impactful throughout the whole year and into the postseason. So keep that in mind. But, you know, it's a good thing on the Dodgers side because of these guys are pitching at least seven innings or at least into the seventh every single time. And another good sign is that the Dodger fans are appreciating it when Dave Roberts came out to take Julio out after another single. He gave up two hits in that seventh inning. And the fans were booing Dave Roberts when he came out to pull him. Once he did pull him, when Julio started walking off, he got the ovation and the appreciation. But it's just fun. I'm sure these guys are all they're competitive people. We know that. And I'm sure in their minds, at least, they're competing like, hey, man, Walker just went seven yesterday, I got to go seven today. Or Bauer just went seven yesterday, I got to go seven today. Or Kersh just went seven yesterday, I got to go seven today. And this is probably one of the best overall rotations the Dodgers have had in this entire run of NLS titles. Maybe, you know, Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw back in those times were probably the highest peak. I don't think even Buehler, I don't think any combination of those two right now matches those two. They were two Cy Young, and Kersh was an MVP candidate one of the years. But this is pretty much as close as you can get. And overall, I mean, the loss of Dustin May sucks, but this is still probably one of the best rotations, 1-4. If Tony Gonsolin can come in and do what he's done in the past couple years and be productive, then it's the best 1-5. And heading into a postseason series, no matter who you put at one, no matter who you put at four, you're almost always going to have an advantage, unless the Dodgers play like Jacob deGrom and the Mets or someone like that. But pretty much the Dodgers are always going to have an advantage on the starting pitching side, and that's exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys do out the rest of the year and how the Dodgers figure out how to make sure to keep them fresh. But we're going to come back and talk a little bit about Chris Taylor, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Day trading is more than just stonks, memes, and to the moon. It's a way to grow your long-term wealth, and you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. Only 1% of day traders beat that market. The odds aren't in your favor if you're doing it alone, but the odds will be better if you team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy, and they have the right tools for every portfolio. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free. Just go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. You know the deal. If you don't, why don't you go try some? I'm telling you. I'm a guy, I don't buy protein bars on my own, and I've bought Built Bar a few times, as well as tried a lot of the flavors that they have, because Built Bar is such a great partner. Right now, Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors that are always on tap, and you can, you know, if you can't figure out which one you want, you can try all the flavors and get a mixed box where you get 2 of all 9 flavors. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. They're always putting out limited time flavors. Those are usually probably the best flavors. They always sell out. So if you ever see a limited time flavor, make sure to take advantage. And Built Bars, they taste great, but they're also healthy. Almost all flavors have around 15 to 20 grams of protein, usually under 150 calories, usually around 4 to 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. What else could you want out of a protein bar? I'm not sure, but whatever it is, it's probably with Built Bar. And right now, you can go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% at builtbar.com. All right, I'm back, and let's talk about Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor has kind of flown under the radar. We've talked about him on a couple times on the show, but he's definitely flown under the radar a little bit, at least for us, just because of how consistent he's been. I think that's why he hasn't got the love that he's needed so far. And, you know, for someone that has a little bit of a brand built, anytime Chris Taylor does something positive, we should focus on that more. So first off, we will remind you that the Dodgers got Chris Taylor from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for Zach Lee, a deal that has continued to keep on giving. And Chris Taylor is having one of the best seasons, if not the, or on pace for having the best season of his career. And knowing how good he's been since he came over from the Mariners, that's pretty surprising. But the Dodgers are going to take it. And let's look at it right now. Chris Taylor is an all-star. And I'm not sure how they're going to get him on the right. Well, you know, I'm not sure what position they're going to put him at. But this man is an all-star. He currently is first in runs scored in the National League. He's third in on-base percentage in the National League. And he's eighth in OPS in the National League. He has the lowest strikeout percentage of his career so far, the highest walk percentage of his career. He has a WRC plus of 156, which is way higher than any of his previous seasons. He topped out at one. Well, he was at 132 last year, 126 back in 2017. So he's far above that right now. He's just doing it on all sides of the plate, and he's doing it while kind of being quiet. I mean, he hasn't had really any big moments so far this season, you know, nothing huge, but he's just been consistent. He's been there. And like I said, all the peripheral numbers look really good. And Chris Taylor is just producing very well. He's already at 1.4 WAR. Last year, he was at 1.5 in 56 games. He's been in 36 games. He was at 1.7 2 years ago. That was in 124 games. So he's a guy that has really elevated his game so far this year and not gotten the love for it, like I said. So we wanted to show Chris Taylor some love. And the big part, too, is, you know, now with Corey Seager hurt, Gavin Lux kind of moving over. Chris Taylor's been in the outfield with Bellinger hurt. It's going to be a kind of a push and pull of where they need him. He played third base in last night's game, made one. I don't remember if they counted as an error or not, but kind of olayed a ball at third base, but made all the other plays. He said he's getting more comfortable over there at third base. He might have to play there a little more often, you know, with Rios hurt, and Tsutsugo's probably not the best defensive player to play third base. When Turner gets those days off, Chris Taylor might find his way over there, especially once Bellinger comes back, once McKinstry comes back, and he'll be... You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers handle it once those guys are back. Obviously, with Seager out, there's still kind of a spot. McKinstry probably won't come in and just play all, every day right away. He's going to have to see if he can, if he'll come back hitting the way he was before he went on the injured list. You know, even Bellinger with the fracture, they might not want him to play every day. So Taylor will still be able to get his time at the plate. And at this point, he needs to be playing at least 4 or 5 times a week at the very least, just because, like I said, he's one of the most productive Dodgers right now. He is building an all-star case, and he's up there with one of the best players in the National League that nobody's talking about. Like I mentioned, third in OBP, eighth in OPS, first in runs scored so far this season. When he's getting on base, the Dodgers are finding ways to get him in, which is, you know, not a skill that goes lost. Mookie Betts was one of those guys last year in the postseason who there wasn't too much you remember from Mookie Betts postseason. You know, the home run in Game 6 and his defensive plays, but offensively, there wasn't a lot that you remember. You remember some stolen bases, you know, winning everybody at Taco. But he did score, I think, more runs scored than games played in the postseason, or at least just around to it. When he was getting on base, the Dodgers were able to bring him in, and that's the biggest part, is getting on base, letting the guys behind you bring you in, and he's making it happen. So shout out to Chris Taylor for, you know, working, continuing to work. He came up 2017, he lit the world on fire. 2018, 2019, he, you know, fell off a little bit, was still productive. Obviously, a utility player, you're not expecting too much offense out of him, but he's provided the Dodgers more than enough offense. And then he really picked it up last year, continuing to do that this year, and making him a guy who the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers are going to have some decisions this offseason, and Chris Taylor is going to be one of those decisions, depending how much they, you know, throw at Corey Seager. You could see a potential, you know, the way things are and the way things may go. If Corey Seager becomes too pricey, it could be a matter of if Gavin Lux, who I'm going to talk about a little bit in the next segment, can hold down shortstop position and just be slightly above average offensively at least, and continue to play the defense that he's played so far this year. You know, maybe Chris Taylor's a guy that gets a little bit of that money that they maybe don't throw at Seager and the Dodgers. He's become more important. There's a reason the Dodgers gave him the extension and not Kike Hernandez after, you know, before last season. There's a reason that he was the guy that's been picked to kind of stick around, and they'll can probably continue to want him to stick around, especially if he continues to do this. And that's another reason why he needs to play at least 4 or 5 times a week, is because he could go the route that Kike and Jock Peterson went and try to find somewhere where he can be an everyday player. And he's shown that he's capable of being an everyday player. But with the Dodgers, he can be a almost everyday player, play a bunch of positions, and be on a winning team. There's a lot of different factors that go into guys for free agency. I'm not sure if Chris Taylor is looking for being an everyday player on a losing team. You know, right now the Red Sox are playing well, and Kike has been hurt a little bit, but I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year. The Cubs and Jock, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year, and even then, they both took one-year deals to try to raise their value. Chris Taylor's a guy who's now shown his value over the last 4 or 5 seasons and shown that he's a guy that you can rely on, and it's not just the fluke of a swing change in that first year, 2017. He's now been a steady, dependable, everyday caliber player, and now all-star caliber player in the National League. So shout out to Chris Taylor. Continue to do it. Continue to keep your brand strong. Continue to keep my brand strong. And, you know, let's get Chris Taylor to the all-star game. That's all I got to say about that. Going to come back and talk about Gavin Lux a little bit more. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to put money on all your sports action. I was going to give you another pick on this ad, Because I'm 2 for 2 in my last picks. The line for the Dodger game isn't up yet, so unfortunately I can't do that. But either way, you can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL. BetOnline has you covered. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and maybe put some money on the Dodgers. I'm definitely putting money on them to win. But right now, don't hesitate. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Head to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device, sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus right now with the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On for 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, my name is not Jeff Snyder, but this segment will be about Gavin Lux and how good Gavin Lux has been. And I'm sure Jeff would have loved to hop in on this, but I'm going to do it for him and just talk about, like I said, how good Gavin Lux has been. Let's just go through the numbers real quick. In his last 7 games, Gavin Lux is hitting .400 with a .464 OBP and a .720 slugging percentage. Yes, that's a .720 slugging percentage. Last 15 games, you take it out a little deeper, he's hitting .327 with a .383 OBP and a .491 slugging percentage. Just 9 strikeouts and 18 hits in 55 at-bats, only 4 strikeouts this last week in 25 at-bats. He's actually picked up 8 walks in these last 2 weeks, last 15 games, which is a good sign for him since he's not much of a walker. In his limited time so far in the majors, he has his lowest walk percentage this year, 8.5% 2 years ago, 8.7% 2 years ago, but very small sample sizes, but 6.8 this year. All sample sizes are around the same, 23 games 2019, 19 games last year, 31 games this year, 117 plate appearances. So the good part, though, is that even though his walk percentage is down, he's getting that up in the last couple weeks. His strikeout percentage is down from those last couple years. 2019, he was striking out 29.3%. This year, he's down at 23.1%, and that's a good sign for the future and for the entire season. You know, overall, his numbers aren't that great, but like I said, he's really picked it up the last couple weeks. If this is the Gavin Lux we're going to see, then this is a good sign for the Dodgers and their offense. The Dodgers are, even though they lost Corey Seager, they're getting Bellinger and McKinstry hopefully back before June or right when June starts. You know, Justin Turner's been steady, even though he's been down a little bit recently. He started off hot and he's just in turn. He's gonna get it turned around or fixed or whatever it is. Mookie Betts is starting to hit. Chris Taylor, we talked about it, has been steady. Max Muncy's really been stepping it up hitting wise the last few weeks. Still getting on base, but now he's starting to hit for power and get on base, which is a good sign. And Gavin Lux as well. We talked about how he doesn't need to be Corey Seager replacement in terms of offense. He's already an upgrade defensively. He just needs to be kind of above average offensively, or even average at this point, but above average would be a lot more ideal. And that's what he's been the last couple weeks. And he's even said it, that he feels more confident. You know, he needed to get back into it. He started out a little hot, hit a little bit of a rough patch, got hurt, came back, was in a rough patch again. Now he's starting to pick it up. Dave Roberts even mentioned that. I'll just read the quote from Dave Roberts. He said, "Gavin has freed himself to basically be himself on a baseball field. What that means is he's not afraid to make mistakes. You look at what he's done this month, he's played as well as anybody on both sides of the baseball." And that's true. This month has basically been the 2 weeks that he's been hot. And defensively, he's made a couple plays. The plays on Monday that he got to the ball, didn't quite finish making the play. They would have been tough plays regardless. But yeah, I mean, this is what we've talked about with Lux before. Last year seemed just like a mental thing. He came in late when the season started. He never really got quite on track. Short season, the Dodgers kind of had to abandon ship when he wasn't really hitting, wasn't really didn't find his swing. Dodgers had to kind of abandon ship in a short season, and he never really got quite on board. This year, we knew coming into the season, Dave Roberts had mentioned giving him a lot of runway, a lot of leeway, a long leash, however you want to word it. But he was going to be kind of the everyday second baseman until he wasn't. And for a while there, you weren't sure if he was going to be able to stay there. The defensively, he was playing really well, which was a good sign. But up until last or up until last week, he was sub 550 OPS, you know, not playing league average offensively at all, and was really struggling. Now, ever since that home run, he's been picking it up, been hitting, had a, you know, clutch home run last night to seal the game. He had a clutch hit to add insurance the night before. And he's looking like the guy that the Dodgers knew they had coming up, the guy that everyone expected when he did come up, and the guy that, you know, Jeff mentioned that we would see this season. It took a little while to get here, but if he can keep this up, it's big for him. It's big for the Dodgers. And, just going back to what Robert said, not afraid to make mistakes. Even defensively, that can lean into that, you know, having the yips or whatever it was that he had, where he was having trouble throwing the ball to first base. It's definitely more mental. Obviously, he has the skills and the talent to be able to throw the ball to first base, but something from the time he gets the ball in his hand to the time he lets it go, something was throwing him off that was causing him to miss with his throws. And now that seems to be gone. And there's nothing better than confidence for a young player. There's nothing better for knowing the sense that you belong. I think that's a question that a lot of young players get when they start having success, or a lot of question, or even, you know, sometimes how they say when they started having success is, I felt like I belonged. I knew I belonged. And once that happened, I was able to be successful. And that's what we're seeing with Gavin Lux right now. He came up 2019, you know, he wasn't hitting the cover off the ball, but had a couple big hits, couple home runs, hit a home run in the postseason. Last year I already mentioned it, and then this year it was just kind of a roller coaster so far. And if this is the Gavin Lux the Dodgers are going to get, the Dodgers are going to be in very good hands with Mookie Betts starting to turn things around. All the other guys I mentioned earlier offensively turning things around. Will Smith is starting to turn things around. Cody Bellinger, Zach McKinstry are coming back very soon. Corey Seager is going to be out for a little while, but the Dodgers should be able to hold things down without him. And Gavin Lux doesn't need to be a number two hitter right now. Doesn't need to be a number three hitter. Doesn't need to be any of that. He's going to sit there down at the bottom of the lineup, and his job is to just get on base or help turn the lineup over or take advantage when he does come up with these other guys on base when they pass the baton. And that's what he's been doing so far these last 2 weeks, and that's what we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to keep that up. So I'm excited for Gavin Lux right now. He's hitting the ball very hard right now, and it's leading to good things. And we're going to see what happens the rest of the way. But I'm more confident now in Gavin Lux, and it seems like he's more confident in himself. And that's a good sign all around. So, Jeff, I hope I did this segment justice for you. I know you would have loved to gush about Gavin Lux, but I did it for you, and hopefully I did it right. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Jeff will be on solo tomorrow. I'm going on vacation, kind of a one-day vacation. Take advantage of this time off I have right now. But, make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram. If you're not already listening every day, make sure to listen every day. Last week, the White Sox podcast had their best week ever and passed us for the number one show on the Locked On Baseball Network. So we need to get back into that number one spot. So tell your friends, tell your family, coworkers, whoever it is, spread the word, post about us, we'll retweet you, we'll repost you on Instagram, whatever it is. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog, I'm at Vince Samperio. Like I said, Twitter and Instagram for both, Locked On Dodgers. Get a hold of us at any of those places. You can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-LOCK. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one. Today, on the Locked On Today podcast, Jason Tatum put the Boston Celtics on his back and advanced them out of the play-in round. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!